Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
Well, we just finished, five chapters of 2 Maccabees?
Sure as fuck did.
Yeah. So I think that means that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think we might be doing this on a Saturday.
This is going out on a Saturday.
So
guess what this episode is.
What is it?
Q&A Saturday.
Oh my God. I was really worried that would never happen again.
I know. I'm so excited.
Like we don't cater to Saturdays anymore, but here it is.
Here it is.
It happened.
It's a Q&A and it's on a Saturday. It's over five chapters, which deserves a Q&A.
Yes.
And these five in particular. Because, as you said, it's chapters 1 through 5 of 2 Maccabees, and we're like...
And honestly, it's been all over the place. Like,
literally.
I'm having trouble following what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. So. If 1 Maccabees was like, who is he? Who? This is where? What? What?
Who?
Where? What? When? When? What? Who? What? When?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to follow.
Lots of questions.
And there's some gems and dicks.
Oh, yeah. Jims and Dixon. Dixon Jims. Ring-a-ding-a-ding-dong.
So anyway, that's what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to get into this?
Sure as fuck am.
All right. Let's do it.
Okie dokie. All right. Let's talk about 2 Maccabees.
Okay. 1 through 5, right?
Yeah. I just have like a thing I want to say about 2 Maccabees in general before I talk about the first 5 chapters.
Sure.
Just as a reminder, it's not a continuation of 1 Maccabees.
No.
Like, definitely not. It's, like, covering roughly 175 to 161 BCE.
It's the early days.
The early days.
It's like, just, it's,
it actually starts a little bit before 1 Maccabees.
This is like the OG Maccabees.
I mean, it's a different story of the Maccabees, and it starts before those Maccabees.
It's like season one, but wrapped into book two.
It's like if they made Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
And then about 20 years later, they decided to make Harry Potter TV show.
Mm,
These are things that are happening.
Sure.
But they started Harry Potter TV show at a different point, like maybe and from different character perspectives, and maybe...
Like from the time he was born till the time, like he's alive, he's over there. But
maybe they talked about maybe they started it from the Wizarding World perspective,
yeah,
instead of the Harry Potter perspective.
Right, right.
I don't know, but I'm just saying it's like that.
It's different.
Yeah, it's not.
One of these things is definitely not like the other.
Yeah, so it's not a continuation.
Got it. It's
a different same story. Okay.
Yeah.
It overlaps heavily with the first 7 chapters of 1 Maccabees.
Okay.
So not the whole Maccadoodles.
Right, right. It's the early shit.
Yeah. It's also an abridgment of a 5-volume work by Jason of Cyrene, which we did talk about.
They did. Yeah, they mentioned Jason.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, who the fuck's a Jason?
Yeah, we're like, what's a Jason? We don't know a Jason.
Yeah.
Jason who? Jason and the Argonauts? And that's when I got mad at you for not knowing... really what a fucking Argonaut was,
right,
or whatever. It's also written with strong theological interpretation. Like, there's a lot of God, but not really in this.
Some chapters, not all of them.
In 2 Maccabees in general.
Sure, sure.
It's less of a history lesson. Like, 1 Maccabees was supposed to be just the recording of what happened.
Right, right.
This one is supposed to be thematically based and have, like, lessons.
Got it.
Okay.
But they definitely have chapters that were just all about, like,
the Greeks and what they were doing and shit mm-hmm. still. So yeah. like it's not all God themed so far.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. Definitely. It's also Second Maccabees as a whole is very into martyrdom, miracles, and divine justice. Mm. So if First Maccabees was like a political history, like a history teacher telling you this happened and then this happened and then this happened, and you're like, can you define what the word this means? Second Maccabees is religious propaganda.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Although not every single chapter has the religious overtone in it.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. It opens, Second Maccabees itself, the book opens with letters from Jews in Jerusalem to the Jews in Egypt.
Got it. Yeah, I remember that.
I remember that there were letters. I didn't remember which Jews were talking and who they were talking to and that they were both Jews.
Right.
I was very confused. And I think I said this in our last episode. I was very confused that this was like Jew on Jew violence. Mm. Like this was two separate party. Like in my mind, it was all the Jews are the same. They are all one people. The end.
Right.
Like I'm a very simple person. So I need things spelled out for me that these are different groups of people with the same God and the same practice, and they call themselves by the same name,
yeah.
but they have very different geographic homes, which influences their political beliefs and their cultural beliefs.
Sure, sure.
And like that's obvious in retrospect, but when you just say, these Jews were talking to these Jews and the Jews did this and then they did that. Like in my mind, it was just like all one club.
Right, right.
They were all at the club dancing to the same music, you know? But obviously that couldn't be the case because there was that whole huge Jewish diaspora community in Alexandria.
Diaspora.
Yeah, I realized as soon as...
I was like, what did you just say?
I said diaspora. Yes. The diaspora community in Alexandria, so Egypt, mm-hmm. under the Greek ruled Egypt, the Ptolemaic kingdom, that whole thing.
Yeah.
So what's happening in this book is that the Jerusalem Jews are basically saying, hey, 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 diaspora fam. I know I can't say it right. Okay. This is one of those cases where, I've read a word for years and I know how to use it properly, but I've never actually heard anybody ever say it out loud.
You've never heard that out loud?
Not actively. I'm sure I've okay. heard it, but right. not where it actively stuck.
Sure.
And so I have to like be like, every time I see the word in print to say it out loud, I have to actively, how is that pronounced?
Yeah.
It's not part of my normal lexicon.
Sure.
So diaspora.
Yeah.
Diarrhea. Diaspora. You know what I mean? Not diarrhea.
Right. No.
Right? Yeah. No, diaspora.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the Jerusalem guys were like, hey, diaspora gang, celebrate the rededication of the temple with us and let's all party together at the same club.
Yeah.
Right?
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. And I wasn't getting any of that.
Right.
So that's on me. But this is this party, this invitation, this let's all do this together, even though we're geographically separated.
Yeah.
That whole thing is what became Hanukkah.
Oh, OK.
Which
yeah, I think we covered like, that. We kind of covered that in the first Maccabees, I think.
We did. It just didn't stick.
Right.
And like, I'm
well,
sick,
I didn't put the
know?
Two together exactly, I don't think.
We did in the first place.
Okay.
And then we talked about it in the first place. And we were like, it's so important. Maccabees ought to be included because.
Right.
And like, we had this whole conversation about it. And then like, we started over with Second Maccabees and it went right out the window.
Except for the fact that we're reading the Christian Bible and really Christians, they don't do Hanukkah.
So. Right. No, but we were like, it should be part of the OT for the Jewish Bible.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
It should be part of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is very important. And because there are more Christians starting to recognize that and who are starting to not celebrate, but like recognize the importance of Hanukkah.
Sure.
So I don't want to discount that as a thing.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, it clearly didn't stick. I didn't get any of it, but that's what's happening.
Got it.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm kind of glad to know that you also are an idiot. that makes me happy.
Well, it's also been an eon since we first read 2 Maccabees chapter 1. So no, I can't
first
remember.
Maccabees
or chapter 2nd chapter, 2 Maccabees chapter 1.
You said 2nd chapter. Okay, all the Maccabees.
Oh, you're going back to 1st Maccabees.
Yeah, I thought that's what you meant.
Okay.
Never mind.
I'm just saying, we haven't been doing our podcast in a regular, so like when they wrote the letter, I even, like, that was a while back.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, I should not have corrected you. I thought you were saying something else.
No.
Yeah, my bad. Again, that's on me. All right, so chapter one.
It's all those diasporas.
Shut up, diaspora. Diaspora, diaspora. Okay, so chapter one, 2 Maccabees. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's a call to celebrate the festival of the temple's purification.
Okay.
More than anything. That's what that letter is about.
Sure.
Okay. It's a legend about sacred fire hidden by priests during the Babylonian exile.
That ended up being sacred sludge.
Well, I mean, to them.
Oil, Texas tea.
Oil. Yeah.
Remember black, like, gold. You caught fire and shit?
Yeah.
And like,
yeah. And like, I was like, oh my God.
Sounds like fucking oil.
I was like, oh my God, did they just discover oil?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But we did a Q&A thing. Not a Q&A, but like a research that I don't remember. We talked about it. And no, that's not what it was.
What was it? Something
made
else.
Up. Made up. Okay. Imaginary.
Right. Yeah.
Or some other not refined it was oil.
Mana oil.
Something like that. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was, there was that magical fire.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I forgot about until I read that. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. There's lots of references to Nehemiah.
Was there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall that.
Well, we might have missed them because we're idiots.
Yeah. I mean, so, there's that, but.
But yeah, there were references to Nehemiah.
Okay.
And there were references to Jeremiah hiding the ark. And this is not in the Hebrew Bible. It's a later tradition. Remember he hit in chapter one of 2 Maccadoodles, he hid it in this cave.
Okay.
The same cave that like Moses is supposed to have died on or some shit, that mountain.
Okay.
All remember?
Right. So that's indicating that they had the ark in past when we thought they did.
Which they didn't.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that just seems like a fantasy type.
Yeah, thing. It was like a fanfic.
Yeah.
It's an OT fanfic.
Because it really didn't show up past, who was it? Like Solomon?
Solomon
might have sent it to Ethiopia.
He might have sent it to
like
Ethiopia with his girlfriend and his son,
Right.
The Prince of Egypt.
Sounds like a rewrite where they're like, well, let's just make the
I said the Prince of Egypt, but I meant the Prince of Ethiopia. But they both start with
Princess
E.
of
No, his son.
Oh.
Via queen
right.
of Sheba.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they just did a fanfic, and I'm here for it, honestly.
Sure.
I love it.
I mean, why not? We're
fanfic.
We're already talking about a god.
I know. As long as you're going in, go big.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So there was that magic fire, references to Nehemiah, and references to Jeremiah hiding the ark. And yeah, it is that ark. Okay.
Yeah. This is just my two cents though, that they might want to get their shit in order.
Right.
Because like, you can't just keep having different fanfics about the same thing.
Well, it's different people writing fanfics, so they can do whatever the fuck
they
want.
Well, they can, but then when you try to say that it's God's word, then it doesn't, you know, hold any water. Or magical fire sludge.
Apparently it does.
I guess.
I mean,
it's some people.
It's happening.
Yeah.
They are doing the thing. So
right,
whatever.
Right.
This whole book, it connects very loosely to the Ezra Nehemiah bits of the OT and the Babylonian exile and the Persian restoration period.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
But again, it's not narratively connected to 1 Maccabees. This
right.
chapter isn't. Okay?
Right. Okay.
It's a very theological framing. Like there is lots of God stuff in this particular chapter.
Right.
It's weird though.
Yeah.
So that was chapter one.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Are we comfortable with, I guess that's what happened.
Sure.
It was weird. And in recollection now, having gone back over it, I'm like,
they wrote letters in Hanukkah.
That's why it was confusing, because it's still kind of like, whatever, y'all.
Right.
Okay. So chapter two. So Jeremiah hides the tent, the ark, and the altar on the mountain. Okay.
Yeah.
And tradition associates this with Mount Nebo.
Okay.
Okay, which is That mountain.
The Moses mountain.
The Moses died mountain.
Yeah.
Not the Jesus wept mountain. The Moses died mountain. He then claims that these sacred items will be revealed when God restores Israel.
Okay.
So some Christian groups have like excitedly jumped on this chapter of Second Maccabees because they're like, that's why we need to get everything together and convert the Jews and make them Christian too, so that we can get that cave and see the ark. And I'm like, I think you guys are like missing the forest for the trees, like, and missing the whole point of it.
Right.
Yeah. But then the author of chapter two says, oh, and FYI, PS, edited to add, this book is totally a summary of Jason of Cyrene's 5 volumes. So like, anyways, he's like, I just condensed all of that into one chapter. Don't be mad at me. I did the best I could with what I had.
Yeah.
Like
there's so much lore that surrounds the Bible.
Yeah.
Like it's immense. It's immense how much material is out there.
What's really funny is that both Maccabees, even though they are like Bible adjacent, like they are part of normal Bibles, just not like the normal, what we think of as normal Bibles, because they're part Protestant. Of Catholic Bibles, not Protestant.
No, I'm saying it's not part of the Protestant.
Right. So they are part of Catholic Bibles, but not Protestant Bibles.
Right.
So they're normal, but they're only like normal adjacent. Question mark?
Sure.
Like, I don't know how I feel about it.
Catholics are a pretty big denomination, so
I know.
And they were exactly not normal.
And they were there before the Protestants, so... Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing is just so
And I think
so
it's also
weird.
In the Orthodox. Like, there's different...
Yeah.
I think even in the Orthodox ones, there's like 4 books from those, which we're not going to cover past 2, but... Mm-mm. But I think there's more in one of them.
Yeah, but not all of them.
Right. No, not all of them, but it is in a few denominations out there.
Yeah. There are more Maccabee books. I think there's like 3-5, but 3, 4, and 5 are not all part of that whole thing.
Right.
They're actually
decided based on, like, we're just doing 2.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
Yeah. Because these are the Catholic ones. So these are still considered canon to a large part of the Abrahamic faith or what the fuck ever.
Yeah.
Okay. But what's really funny though is that so we've got like Bible, then we've got like Bible adjacent but still Bible, but then we've got like them referencing like Bible adjacent but not accepted. And then we've on top of that got like fanfic that's just like fucking out there.
Oh yeah.
Just like not even a little bit related.
But obviously somebody thought it was important, you know?
I know.
And so it is out there. We've already read some of that, like Bella and the Dragon and just different things that were, you know, and they're not exactly not biblical texts. They're just, you know, they just didn't make the cut, I guess.
They just didn't make the cut. It's just so fucking weird.
Yeah.
So the story in chapters 1 and 2, they are framed in temple theology, diaspora, unity, and God preserving his sacred objects or man's sacred objects because of their relation to God.
Right, right.
Okay. Yeah. So that's chapters 1 and 2. Okay. And they're kind of different is why I like put them together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are we good on chapters 1 and 2?
Good on 1 and 2.
Okay. Now we move into chapter 3.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
The first real plot movement of Maccabees starts in chapter 3.
Okay.
This is where we actually start getting some story because it's not a letter.
Yeah.
Okay. So we enter also into some events that are found in First Maccabees, but they're told completely different.
Yeah.
Okay. The setting in this case, it's not letters. This is set in Jerusalem as well as in the temple.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The key figure in this one in chapter 3 is Heliodorus, whom I refer to as Helio because I just couldn't.
Yeah.
I was just like, whatever. He's sent by the Seleucid king, Seleucus the IV, I called him Velociraptor.
Yeah.
The Lopiter, to seize temple funds.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Greek guy, the Seleucid king, Velociraptor, is like, Helio, go get me that fucking gold
from that temple. Because there's some crazy shit.
There's some crazy shit. Yeah. So the Greek king, Seleucus Velociraptor, says, Helio, go get me the gold from that fucking temple.
This was definitely my favorite book chapter so far in this book.
No, I totally agree. So. Mine too. So, but here's some important context for the chapter, okay? Yeah.
Okay.
After Antiochus the Third, so not the fourth Epiphanes, the OG villain.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. The one that came before him.
Okay.
After Antiochus the Third lost to Rome, the Seleucids owned massive tribute payments. Or I'm sorry, owed massive tribute payments. That's part of what the breakdown with the Seleucid Empire was.
Got it.
It wasn't just that my guy Alexander the Great left his entire empire to the five different guys.
Right.
And then they like couldn't get it together and make it work.
Yeah.
It was also that because Rome came in and was like, I'll have some of that.
Sure.
They owed massive tribute payments because they
were in debt.
They were in debt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were like, we fucking need money.
Yeah.
And we will rob each other. We'll certainly rob those Jews over there. They have a lot of fucking gold in that temple. I like that. That seems like an easy bet. They're small.
I feel like you'd only be really in debt, though, if you were worried about the army that the other person has in these times.
They were certainly worried about the Romans coming to collect.
Because
they had already lost to them. Based on
what we know about history, you know.
Well, they had already lost to them is why they owed.
Right.
And they were owing tax and tribute to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were like, yeah, we need gold. Let's go bug the Jews. They have it. It's an easy mark.
Sure.
Easy target. Go get it, Helio.
Yeah.
So Heliodorus tries to raid the temple treasury.
Right.
Which
you try real hard.
Well, I didn't understand at the time, like, who's taking whose gold and why? Like, I didn't understand the historical context around it.
Got it.
Okay. This is making more sense to me now.
Yeah.
Okay. Second Maccabees, though, in this chapter, adds a dramatic miracle scene.
Mm, don't they, though?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was not in First Maccabees. This was not anywhere else.
No, there was no God shit in First Maccabees.
No, this
not really.
This whole miracle scene is like just special to this fanfic chapter.
Very, very fucking special.
Chapter 3 was everything. Mm. Like, I want this in a movie, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Okay, so a heavenly horseman appears, just like random.
And they referred to this heavenly horseman as God in the chapter. At least they kind of indicated that it was
the phrasing, but I remember me and you going, wait, is that God?
Right.
Or is that like an angel?
Because of
God?
The way
like,
they referenced it. It was like, very close. It was at the very least very close to God.
Yeah. So that's why my summary just refers to him as a heavenly horseman.
Sure.
We'll leave it. We don't know if it was God or not.
Gold plated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Angels beat Helio nearly to death. Angels beat Helio the fuck up.
Man.
They were like, absolutely fucking not. Leave the Jews alone.
That's cheating.
Stop, touch their gold.
Sicking your angels on them.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah. So Helios is like, fuck me, angels and maybe gold god on a horse.
Right, yeah.
I don't know why God needs a horse or gold for that matter.
Yeah.
That's what makes me question.
I'm out of here. Fuck this shit.
He didn't just like peace out. He didn't just nope out. He repented. He was like, okay.
You know what? We've talked about this before, right?
Mm-hmm.
If God pulled some shit and made something materialize in our backyard.
Yep.
I mean, okay, cool.
I'm going to repent.
I still think he's a dick.
I don't know if I would repent so much as I would be like, I eat my words.
Yeah.
Sir, I eat my hat. You do exist.
I'll be goddamned. I was wrong.
Yeah. Okay, God exists. My absolute bad. That's on me.
And I probably will be goddamned.
But you know what? I would. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I wouldn't say that's on me. Like, I started to say, I didn't believe in you, and that's on me. I don't think that's on me. I think bad PR.
Totally on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's his fault.
So Helios gets beat the fuck up by God and his angels.
Yeah.
And Helios repents.
Okay.
Because God protects the temple.
Yeah.
Again, none of this is in First Maccabees.
Not even close.
But the idea in this chapter is God protects the temple from foreign seizure.
Sure. And we had a little bit of a discussion, I think, about this, too. But like, we know that it was people that did this. Right. Mm-hmm. And it just takes away a little bit from the people that probably died defending the temple.
Yeah. Like those names should be recorded.
Right. But no, it was God in armor suit and gold and angels that did it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Crazy. I'm reading an interesting book that I probably will talk about, actually. but I'm not going to mention here because I don't think it's appropriate. But I did like a phrase from it where it said something to the effect of, it's interesting that when something goes right, they always go talk to God and praise him and worship him and thank him.
Yeah.
But when something goes wrong, me and my organization, the main character of this book, like we get in trouble and blamed for everything wrong. And that, and then
You get all the heat, but none of the glory.
Yeah. And then the final phrase from that was, it must be good to be the God.
Right.
Or how awesome to be the God or something like that.
Yeah. It's just like, it's the I win scenario. Like there's that, I forget, it was like a Adam Sandler, Big Daddy, I think is what it was.
Probably.
And they had this kid and they played this card game in it. And the kid was like, he just would collect all the stuff and say, I win. And then the other guy was like, what the hell is this? And it's like, well, he's five, you know, he wins. God's five. He wins.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It's so fucking true. So that's what happened in chapter three.
Okay. Yeah.
Craziness. And you're right. That's the best chapter so far.
It is. It is.
It's the most exciting story-wise. It's the most crazy.
Yeah. My eyes widened much more in that episode, in that show, in that chapter than in any other chapter thus far.
Right. Of all the Maccabees, honestly.
Yeah.
Even well, because from the first.
The first Maccabees was pretty dry.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it had shit happen, and that was cool, but half the time I was like...
But it was a chronicling
who
of...
Who is talking right now?
Yeah, and it was more just like a very dry chronicle of what was happening, you know?
Yeah. It was like sitting in a really, really bad teacher class.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It was.
Where it's like, oh, you don't love history. You just... This is your job.
When it when we're doing a chapter and it reminds me of the Bagats... I know we're in a bad spot because like with the Bagats, I just had like, I had to listen so intently just to get anything out of it.
And that's why I threw in all kinds of like microphone, mascara, lamp, couch. Like I just had to throw in random words.
It was the only way.
Yeah. Yeah. And our whole goal, like we had to remind ourselves almost every episode was we're just trying to get through this. Yeah.
For anybody that's listening right now and you listen to the Bagats that we did.
You know.
Holy shit. I'm sorry. And thank you.
Yeah. And if you know, you know.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it really just brought home, like, why are we doing this again? Oh, yeah. To be able to say we did.
Completionism.
Yeah.
That's it.
And we can say we did.
Yeah.
God damn it. Mm-hmm. All right. So chapter four now. Okay.
Yeah.
Chapter four, the theme is internal Jewish corruption.
Okay.
Okay, we've got massive corruption.
Yeah.
And things are getting political.
Yeah.
As they always do, as they always were, and as they always are.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
The key figures in chapter four are High Priest Onias III, and he is legitimate and traditional.
Okay.
I don't even remember his ass. How about that?
Yeah.
And then we get his brother, Jason.
Okay.
A different Jason, I think.
Right, yeah.
Not Jason Cyrene and not Jason
That's one thing Jason I can't stand. There's so many same name characters. It's like, oh.
Wait till we get to all the Marys in the New Testament. Like, I think there's like at least three or some shit like that.
Hmm, okay. Yeah. I know there's Mary Magdalene and then Jesus's mom, Mary. So.
Yeah. And, you know, let's not forget... I already forgot.
Yeah.
So never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's another Mary.
I think there's another Mary.
Probably.
I'm sure there are many, many Marys, many, many Moxon, many. Okay. Anyways. So we've got Jason, right? And he bribes the Seleucid king.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we've got the Seleucid king, who is Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, the OG
one.
Villain.
The bad
yeah.
one. Yeah.
Yeah, not Sinister Simon, Sinister Seleucid King. Okay.
Right.
Not Simon.
Right.
But he is sinister.
Yeah.
So he buys.
He's sinister or not. He's a fucking king that's in control of these people.
But he's the OG villain. Okay.
Yeah.
Antiochus the Fourth. Oh,
yeah.
Antiochus
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit.
Right.
He's a piece of shit. He buys the high priesthood, which is like a huge deal. Okay.
Who does again?
The Seleucid king, Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, the OG villain.
Right, but Jason bought it.
No.
Or he gave it to Jason.
Listen to me.
I'm listening.
Listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Jason bribed the Seleucid king. The Seleucid king is Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, and he buys the priesthood. Okay?
For Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the high priesthood becomes political, corrupt, and very Hellenized, meaning it goes Greek.
Okay.
Jason promotes Greek culture. He builds a gymnasium. He encourages Greek custom, and he undermines Jewish law. And if you just recently listened to our episode about gymnasiums and ding-dongs,
yeah,
you will know what the fuck I'm talking about and why this was important. And it right. all had to do with circumcision, which just sounds so weird, but actually, like, makes it make sense.
Right.
Honestly, I'm very happy with that episode because it really made me understand the importance of the circumcised versus uncircumcised and why it matters in the Greek gymnasiums.
Right. Yeah.
Like, to give it a listen if you didn't.
Yeah. No, it was good stuff.
Yeah. So then Menelaus shows up and he outbids Jason for the priesthood.
Damn it.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we've got full on chaos. Okay, we've got bribery, murder, temple money theft, political intrigue. Onias III ends up murdered. What?
Mm.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, wait, who was he again now? He was the high priest.
Yeah, he was the original high priest before they started bidding on it.
Yes, yes. But I had to, like, scroll back up and be like,
well, he was probably causing problems. Like, no, these fuckers aren't real. They're not really the fucking high priest.
Exactly. He's like, I'm the high priest.
Yeah.
And they're like, the hell you say? So they fucking killed him.
Right.
Yeah. This internal corruption is emphasized much more in 2nd Maccabees than in 1st Maccabees. Maccadoodles.
Yeah.
Which is to say that this shit did appear in 1st Maccadoodles.
It did. They mostly just talked about how they were corrupt and that they killed them.
Right. It's much more dramatized in 2nd Maccadoodles.
Right. And we didn't spend nearly this amount of time on this time period either.
We didn't get a whole chapter over it.
Right.
That is sure.
Yeah.
The big theological message in this chapter is that the crisis wasn't just about foreign oppression like it was in the previous chapter. It was about people that were trying to oppress and steal their gold and all that.
Right.
This is about internal unfaithfulness to God.
Sure. It was internal, though, but with help from the outside still.
Right. But people within are selling the high priesthood.
Sure.
And they're selling the power, and they're selling basically like tickets to the God show.
Yeah.
You know? So the idea in this chapter, chapter 4, is that corrupt Jewish leadership invites disaster. And that happens.
Sure.
So like in the previous chapter, they were being oppressed from outside forces. So that's why God showed up with his on his horse with his angels and beat the fuck out of
right.
What's his butt? Helios.
Yeah.
Okay. Here, they're doing it to themselves. Yes, with outside help, but instead of like standing firm and being martyrs and, you know, making the right choices even in the face of potential death.
Yeah.
They sell out and they don't stand firm. And so what happens when they don't do that? Again, it invites disaster.
Sure.
Okay. So that's chapter 4.
Okay.
Now we move into chapter 5. Okay.
Yeah.
In this one, the theme is about how Antiochus basically goes nuts. Okay. He's like, wah!
Yeah.
Chapter 5 of 2nd Maccabees strongly overlaps with 1st Maccabees chapter 1.
Okay.
So this is like where we actually start to join in on like, oh, okay. And I remember when we were reading this chapter, we were like, oh, we're finally actually at stuff I remember.
Yeah.
Like this happened.
Yeah. They started talking about Judas Maccabeus and different things like that.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Like our Maccabeans. Okay.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So rumors have spread that Antiochus IV died in Egypt.
Okay.
Jason, therefore, tries to retake Jerusalem by force.
Got it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Antiochus returns very much alive.
Mm, that's problematic.
Rumors of my demise. Right? Yeah. And he's fucking furious. I mean, as you would be if people are like, hey, I heard he's dead. He's not going to mind if I like take his, I don't know, hat. Right?
Yeah. Right,
like,
right.
And all his shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he attacks Jerusalem brutally.
Mm.
He's like, take my shit, take my gold, take my city, take my stuff.
Right.
So he kills thousands. He loots the temple himself. Mm. And he steals sacred vessels.
It's funny that God didn't stop him from looting the temple.
Well, but because they had sold out.
All right.
They invited.
They had it coming, I guess, right?
They had it coming. God was like, you probably should have not sold out. That basically invited this guy to come in. But even if it didn't invite him, still, why should I help you?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying that's the reasoning in the book is that's why they lost.
Right.
Because of chapter four.
Yeah.
Their actions
it's in chapter four. It's very convenient that every time God doesn't get involved,
they have fucked themselves.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this chapter corresponds directly to 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verses 20 through 28.
Okay.
Okay. But 2 Maccabees adds a total theological spin. This specifically happened because of Jewish sin, which I just said.
Sure.
And God allowed it temporarily as discipline.
Hmm.
And there's like a whole thing about it. Like they talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like a...
We've talked about this before too, though, but like you're allowing these people to murder thousands and you're telling me that all of those people were bad?
Like, that's a really rough lesson.
Like, I can get behind the priest person was bad, right? But I struggle with believing that like all the people that died were bad.
I don't think that means what you think it means, God.
Right.
I'm not taking away what you want me to take away from that because you're going to say, it's the bigger picture. And I'm going to say, no child is part of a bigger picture. Each child is a child at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's talk about the fucking Epstein files for a minute. I don't care that... But if we don't, if we release all of them, so many people will get hurt. Like, yes, let us hurt the pedophiles. That is correct.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Let us make all of the right or the left. I don't fucking care. Like, each child harmed matters. They're not just like a drop in the bucket. Oh, wells.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. Your message is not getting through to me.
Yeah.
I don't like. What is it called? Innocent bystanders that are harmed just like ricochet, like whatever the fuck that is. I'm not here for that.
Sure.
You know, let's just not. So Antiochus punishes Jerusalem violently is the main thing that happens in that chapter.
Right.
And we're supposed to be like, you know, well, they should have just took care of their shit.
I guess.
I'm not here for it.
I still struggle with when when the group of people go out to the forest to hide from the people because they're getting murdered and they're following their tenets of God, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to fight on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And then they die.
Yeah.
I'm like, where were you then, God?
Yeah.
What happened there?
They did the right thing, though, by not defending themselves.
They did. So where was God?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, again, I don't think
somebody else will be like, they had to die in order for it to spur the revolution
and the greater plan. You're too small.
God could have done the whole revolution for them if he wanted to, but he just let them die and let somebody else do it anyway.
What if God just, you know, didn't worry about war? What if God just made people? What if God?
He can change people's hearts. He can do all kinds of shit.
I was just gonna go there.
Why do we gotta do all this shit?
What if God was like, y'all people cannot fucking get along, so I'm just gonna put giant mountains that can't be crossed until you can get your shit together and figure your things out.
Yeah,
y'all are stupid.
I'll tell you what, God, I will believe in you if you can get Trump to admit that he's in the Epstein files and that he did wrong and that he is absolutely guilty on public TV. How's that?
Because
you can change people's hearts. You can make him do that, right?
As for me, he can make shit disappear, right? So as for me, I'll be a big fan of God. We recently watched this huge expose on nuclear bombs by Hassan Minhaj and a lady that wrote a book about it. I can't remember her name, but
it was an excellent
piece. It was an excellent piece. I have the book now on my TBR and all.
Yeah.
Try to remember to send it to you to link.
Right.
as well as the interview.
Yep.
But basically, we are set up, and by we, I kind of mean the planet, specifically America, but basically the planet is set up so that if one person sends a nuclear weapon at anybody, like, the instant reaction is fire everything back now, ask questions later after it's too late because we already bombed the fuck out of them. And now that we've already bombed the fuck out of them, I guess we're open to anybody else that wants to bomb us because we've already fired our arsenals. So, okay, everybody's fucked now. We just all ruined the planet.
It's been the status quo for a long time. Mutually assured destruction.
Right. Except that it's not working because we have fucking crazy people in charge.
Well, yeah, that was always going to be the problem.
Right. Exactly. So if you want me to actually be like this huge believer in magic, how about if you fucking magic nuclear weapons off the goddamn planet?
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
As long as we're going to dream, let's dream big.
Yeah.
I want big magic. There you go. I want big, huge, obvious magic. The buttons go awry. The bombs are gone.
Yeah.
And by gone, I don't mean that they like got sent to blow up the sun or another planet. I mean, they disappear because God can do these things in your little imaginary religion story.
Right.
God is big enough to make things disappear.
Start the fuck Pluto movement and just like send them all out there to blow up Pluto.
Don't hurt Pluto. I am absolutely not for hurting Pluto. Rude. Pluto, on behalf of Earth, I apologize. Wow. All right. So this book so far.
Yeah.
Second Maccabees. Even though we're only five chapters in, it feels...
I just want to say real quick, it would solve the problem whether or not it's a planet.
I mean, yeah.
I'm just saying.
It would be nothing.
It would wipe that discussion right off the face of the solar system.
You need to stop. I feel like this is rude to Pluto. Pluto is not here to defend itself. I don't like where this is going. I'm going back.
Yeah, sorry. Go back to... Yeah.
So, Second Maccabees, fuck you. I don't know why I feel like so emotionally protective of Pluto, but
it got taken away from us once. I'll be damned if you can take it away again.
Probably that's it.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so we're only five chapters into Second Maccabees, and it just feels like we're all over the place. Like, yeah. What even?
No, it does.
What's going on?
So my head's spinning for sure.
It starts with letters that are unrelated to the plot. It jumps backward from where we had started to Persian era legends.
Yeah.
Like legends. Like what the fuck?
Right.
It retells events that we literally just read in First Maccabees.
Yeah.
And then it adds like these crazy magical miracle stories that we're like, whoa, that came out of nowhere. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, God on a horse. I just cannot.
Yeah.
But it also is problematic because it assumes that the reader already knows the Seleucid Ptolemaic political world, which we only know a little bit of because of how hard we've tried to understand it and how we've tried to like look at, wait, what was happening? What else was going on? Like some of our Greece, baby, like the deep dive there and the... What was going on in the world as these things were happening? Like those questions that we asked to try to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But this assumes you already know it as part of your like everyday knowledge. You're not having to look it up and ask the questions. It's just part of your American history. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, over here in America, we don't say the American Civil War. We just say, you know, the Civil War, right? Well, no, we know what we're talking about.
We talked about this a while back on our podcast at some point where we feel like God should have come down and like revisited the Bible every, you know, couple hundred years maybe or something, you know, just to re-up it, you know?
Yeah.
And we put new versions out of books like What Color Is Your Parachute every 5 years or something, you know? Maybe even more than that.
I think that comes out every year, babe.
Okay, every year, whatever.
I'm pretty sure there's a new edition for every graduate.
There's a new fucking edition all the time.
Who moved your cheese? I don't fucking know.
We get new versions of these things. They update all the time. But the Bible, it's been the same for fucking ever.
There are college textbooks where you're taking a two-part course, right? You're taking part one in fall semester and then part two in the winter spring semester, right? Yeah. And the textbook covers both semesters, right? You buy it in the fall for fall semester, and it is already, you have to buy the next edition.
Yeah.
Even though it was, your book still is brand fucking new.
Right.
For the next semester, for also, part two of the class.
Why don't we have, like, God showing up in gold armor now in the sky? Like, if somebody could get a picture of that, I would
be down with that.
You know, that would go a long way, you know?
Like, the Bible...
I'd have to verify that the picture was correct and everything, but, like, you know.
I mean, we've got some crazy AI happening
right now. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you can't just trust your eyes anymore. You have to...
Oh, my God. That reminds me, like, I was watching this YouTuber talking about a book, and she had the coolest sweatshirt on. It had, like, all these books on it and stuff because it was a BookTube thing, and she's talking about some controversial book material, right? And so I go down into the comments because there's always some like fascinating discussion to and for, and every once in a while there's an asshole that's like, touch grass, this whole discussion is stupid, and we're all like, don't let the door hit you, blah blah blah,
sure,
right? And then like randomly somebody's like, I hate to be quote unquote that person, but your sweatshirt, while I love it, the image is actually AI. And I know that you're like an artist, so you're anti-AI. So I thought you would probably want to know.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, I'm so sorry to be that person. It was like so weird that it was so out of like context. Like it wasn't even part of the discussion at all. But it just reminded me like, my God, AI's everywhere.
Well, it is.
And so, you know, why can't AI rewrite the Bible and give us pictures of God on a horse?
Oh, it absolutely could.
Better.
It absolutely could.
But better.
It could.
It surprises me that no new religions have come up with a better AI written Bible. You know what I mean? Like Adam and Eve, but how it like really could have happened,
right,
with AI's help to rewrite it in a better way.
Exactly.
Like, not that I believe in Adam and Eve at all, or magic, or...
I will say I really love the reimagining of Moses in the Promised Land shows that are on YouTube.
Oh, the YouTube show. Yeah. Oh my God. Y'all need to watch that.
It's not really... that disrespectful?
It's not that it's sacrilegious, but it's not that it's not sacrilegious,
right, yeah.
Also, it basically, you can tell that it's written by people who really know their source material. They really read the Bible.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And
it is fucking fantastic.
The characters and the characters who aren't there that are referenced and
think The Office with, you know, Old Testament.
That's literally the description of it is The Office.
Right.
Like Moses is always talking about his wife Zippy.
Yeah.
Zipporah. And like he's always asking where his sons are because, you know, in the Bible they're mentioned once and then never again.
Right.
And so she's always like, oh, they've run off, those scamps. And yeah, it's really fucking good.
Yeah.
You guys should totally watch that show, The Promised Land on YouTube.
Yeah.
Hilarious. We're highly waiting for the next season.
Right.
So Second Maccabees is just really weird. And it assumes that you know all this history.
Right.
Just like Americans assume that the whole planet should speak English for them. This assumes that you just
especially during the Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh my God. Fuck those people, honestly. And also something that I didn't realize, another thing adding to the confusion is Second Maccabees in particular, it's written in a very Greek rhetorical style.
Hmm.
And it's not Hebrew historical style. So the writing style is different.
Well, and the history seems to very much revolve around Greek history, not Jewish history. Mm-hmm. So that is one of the things that kind of caught me off guard with regard to this book.
Yeah.
And so this feels like something that was more derived from the Greek influence into Christianity than anything else.
Yeah. So. It seems like it was told by the... Greek Jews after the diaspora.
Yeah.
Rather than the Jerusalem Jews, like, before or during the diaspora.
Right, yeah. It's a looking back and re-examining type situation.
Yeah.
And injecting God.
And, I mean, when you realize where it was or when it actually was written, which is later on. Yeah. So it was way after the Babylonian exile.
Right.
So, yeah. Makes total sense.
It does.
But all of that combines to make it just a very, very confusing piece. And we're only 5 chapters in. So yeah. I assume it's only going to get worse.
No, we definitely needed this.
Yeah.
The Q&A was definitely needed for this.
And I feel like it helped me understand what happened in each chapter, but I don't feel like it helped me understand, okay, so 5 chapters in, here's where we are.
Well, there's not really a coherent message.
Right.
It's just, we're just kind of... We're going through the book and maybe it'll get a little bit more cohesive as it goes along. But right now it's kind of been back and forth between a few things.
Yeah.
So I don't think that we're missing a lot. We're just, it is what it is. And that's kind of part of what was confusing us. So,
yeah.
But I am glad we covered it because that cleared up some things for me at least and helps me understand what we have read a little bit better.
It helps me understand the historical context of the events that they're talking about,
yeah,
the ones that actually happened anyway,
right?
Or the things that they're referencing,
yeah.
But I'm still lost, but I kind of live in that state, I think, so it can't be helped.
So that was our Q&A for today.
Sure as fuck
was. Which was a
Q&A Saturday.
And we will be back soon with the next chapter of Second Maccabees, which will be
Second Maccadoodles Chapter 6.
And don't forget to join us live on Discord every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. There's always a link in the show notes to go and check that out. And we'd love to have you there. You just got to kind of, you got to bear with us for a little bit. You just got to get in there and just say hi. And we'll do the rest.
Two things is that with regard to the lives on Tuesday, you don't have to have read the Old Testament. Like, you don't have to be current in the podcast.
Right.
Because we've turned the Tuesdays into just like random deep dive topics, like one-offs.
Yeah.
So, which makes it fun for everybody to join wherever you are.
Yeah. So if you got a friend that wants to join too, you should tell them to come on over.
Because
it won't be necessarily something that you won't have to be caught up with us,
right,
to enjoy it.
That's what I know. Yeah.
But I'm glad, say again, you know, whatever.
I'm glad that we have somebody to mansplain.
That's what I'm here for.
Right.
That's what I'm
so here that was
for.
The first point. The second point is that even if you show up late, it's at 10 Eastern, but we don't actually start the podcast proper until at least 10:30, sometimes even 11.
But we do have fun starting at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, we start.
So even if you can't make the later bit,
yeah,
you can come in and just chat for a bit.
Yeah, we just chat with everybody. We just hang and figure out who all's going to be there before we actually start the podcast proper recording.
And it's like our favorite thing about our podcast.
Hanging out with everybody.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Right. We have a lot of fun there.
So do that. Go do that.
And you can live correct my mispronunciations and answer my, wait, who was that? Or what part of the Bible was that in?
Right.
Which we always ask a question. And if you are the one who, you know, offers information, we will call you out in the middle of our fucking podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff.
Join history, you know?
Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us here. And we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.